Okay, we're on. Okay, the Old Testament reading for a week from Sunday for Epiphany 6 is Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. A couple of preliminary observations. First of all, if you take a look at the Hebrew text, you notice that in the apparatus that Jeremiah 17 in the Septuagint begins with verse 5. Verses 1 through 4 are not present in what BHS labels as the funky G with an asterisk, the so-called original Greek. Now, the interesting thing is that when you take a look at works like Werthwein or Tove on textual criticism for the Old Testament, you realize that this original Greek translation is a hypothetical one. So it's out in some, but I guess most of the, and there's not a lot of documentation that's in the apparatus itself, other than you can tell that there are other recensions of the Septuagint that do include it. The verses 1 through 4 talk about the sin of Judah and how that will lead to exile, really displacement from the land of their heritage. And that forms the backdrop then for verses 5 through 8, which are part of a very psalm-like oracle. That it is an oracle is indicated by the opening phrase, Ko Amar Yahweh, thus says or has said Yahweh. After that, this text is going to be very much reminiscent of Psalm 1. So, let's begin. And we've dealt with the Ko Amar Yahweh. So the first part of the poem or psalm itself is Arur HaGever, Asher Yivtak Ba'adam, Basam Basar Zeroo. Arur, kalpassive participle of Arar, cursed, is the man. Gever is really sort of parallel or almost synonymous with Ish. Cursed is the man who trusts in the man, in man, and puts or has put, made flesh his arm or strength, Zeroa. Arur is the cursed word that appears in Genesis 3:14. Cursed is the serpent, and also in verse 17, though at that point in a feminine form, Arura ha'adama, cursed is the ground because of Adam's having followed the advice or the comment of his wife, Eve. Gever is parallel or congruent with Ish. It tends to be a wisdom word in terms of numbers of usages. It occurs more in Job, Psalms, and Proverbs than anywhere else. But aside from that, doesn't seem to bring any particular nuances as in terms of a strong man or anything like that. So notice that it sort of leads with the curse here. We're going to get a contrast of two ways. And then the remaining clause in the verse, U'min Yahweh Yasur Libo. From Yahweh turns aside his heart. So the thing is, he trusts, considers man or flesh his strength, and discounts Yahweh in terms of the allegiance of his heart and the trust or confidence of his heart. Now there's an outcome that, like in Psalm 1, is articulated in terms of a simile. Verse 6, Vahaya ka'arar ba'arava. He is or becomes like, and ka'ar is from the root arar, to be stripped or bared. There is an entry in BDB, which the ESV tends to echo, calling this thing a shrub. So he is like a shrub or a juniper in the wilderness or desert. But the reading of that is actually based on repointing RR to read aroer. As it stands, and it's interesting because Kyle and Delitzsch keeps it as RR and says that this cursed one, cursed man, is like a destitute, stripped in terms of resources, whether economic or otherwise, like a destitute or a stripped man in the desert. And this one, v'lo yireh ki yavo tov, and he will not or does not see, here ki is probably more temporal, when good will come or comes. So it's the destitution, the lack of resources, like a person who's out in the wilderness on his own, and lacks the ability to perceive good things, even if they do come his way, is not able to distinguish the good, which is not only something from the psalm, but also then kind of puts us back into a Genesis-oriented context, that the knowing good and evil sort of thing is that the person who abandons Yahweh is not able to distinguish good and evil. He doesn't know good when he sees it, or when it is to be seen. Moreover, in the rest of verse 6, V'shakan charerim b'amidbar, eretz melecha v'lo teshev. This one's kind of interesting because you've got shakan, third singular masculine, perfect verb form. The question of, is it the man, or is it the destitute, which is a masculine form there. Inhabits might be an easier way to use shakan. Inhabits scorched places, harerim, in the wilderness. And then Eretz Melecha, a sort of a salted land, salted as rendered barren because of some quality in the soil. V'lo teshev, and there teshev can be a kal imperfect second singular masculine, but then you have to, you've got to change to you, which really doesn't go very well. The alternate option for the same form is that it's a kal imperfect third singular feminine, and now we're getting into the fact that it is the land that is frankly not inhabitable. BDB calls this a sort of a figurative thing, where you actually have what amounts to an active form that is rendered in a more passive way. Another approach to this is the notion of sitting or settling is something that has to do with endurance, that this salted land, these scorched places, such a land cannot endure, cannot go on, cannot be productive. Anyway, verses 5 and 6 then describe this cursed condition of man, the one who is apart from, out of fellowship with the Lord. Verse 7 now turns the tables. Baruch HaGever. So Arur, cursed is the man, verse 5. Baruch, blessed is the man, verse 7, who, Asher, Yivtach b'Yahweh, who he trusts in Yahweh, instead of the guy who trusts in man. V'hayah Yahweh Mivtacho, And Yahweh is or becomes his trust or his confidence. And we'll come back to this verse, but it really does, that phrase, I'm inclined to argue, the last one, Bahayah Yahweh Mivtacho, is the sort of the centerpiece of this. Verse 8 now unpacks the blessedness, and the first colon in verse 8, Bahayah Ka'et Shatul Al Mayim, is almost verbatim. The only thing missing is palge from Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 3a says, Vahayaka eitz shatul al palge mayim. He is like a tree planted upon streams of water. Here it's just, he is like a tree planted upon water or waters. Va'al yavul yishalach sha'ra shal. And upon the stream, he sends out a pal imperfect, third singular masculine, sends out his roots. The kamatz yod vav, the third singular masculine pronominal suffix for plural nouns. So that's where the roots. Velo yir'eh, and we'll come to that one in a moment, ki yavo hom. It's either he does not see when heat comes, or, and the apparatus points us down this direction, you see the little superscript A, suggests that we read yir'ah. In other words, we got a kathiv kare thing. Kathiv is yir'ah, he will not fear. Kare is actually an attempt by the Masoretes to make us see this word in view of the yir'eh in verse 6, right? The below yir'eh ki yavo tov. So here it's, is it that he doesn't see or recognize when heat, you know, when some kind of adversity comes, or the more typical translation, he does not fear from Yara. You know, either way, you're sort of stuck with the expectation is that with the verb Yare, to be afraid, you would have both yods showing, be yi, yod, hirik yod, and then ra. And here we're missing the final hey, which is a little bit odd. So either way, the consonantal text is kind of puts you into something of a dilemma, and yet it's one that can be unpacked two different ways. So he doesn't fear when heat or adversity comes. Bahaya alehu ra anan. His leaf is, or leaves are, remain green or fresh, ratnan. Ubishnat batzoret lo yidag. And in the year of, batzoret is something like deprivation, destitution, in the context of planting and land and so forth, one might think in terms of drought. So you got a heat wave in the first part, and now you got a drought. But this one, you know, such the man whose trust is in Yahweh, is not anxious. Da'ag. Velo yamish me'asoth peri. And he does not depart or leave off from doing fruit, which is to say that the tree planted on the waters is one that keeps bearing even when a bad season comes. Now, again, there are, you know, considerable echoes of Psalm 1. Two ways of living or and trusting. One is in man, the other is in God. the trusting in man is one that is cursed and leads to unfruitfulness. The one trusting in Yahweh is leads to this fruitfulness and provides solidity for one's life. In the context of what comes before, at least in the English text, in verses 1 through 4, the kinds of things in which Judah would have placed trust, wealth, power, alliances, and so forth, those things are never enough. What I find interesting is in verse 7b, that phrase, V'hayah Yahweh Mivtacho, Yahweh is or becomes his, in the setting here, becomes our confidence. In the first part of that, blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh. There, trusting is an activity whose agent is a person. The second part of that verse, it seems to me, takes us to, or at least offers the opportunity to consider a little bit different level. So that more than our trusting in Him, which is a kind of aspiration on our part, trust God more, day by day or something like that, is that it is not our trusting which does such great things, to borrow Luther's phrasing, but the one who is trusted in what he has done and continues to do. It's that if our activity of trusting sort of toward Yahweh is something that we aspire to do, we endeavor to do, that is not the key. It's when Yahweh is our confidence, and that on the basis of what He has done, that's when we find real solid base to our lives. And again, to borrow Luther's catechetical terminology, about the sacrament, for example, that it's not eating and drinking which does such great things, but the words here presented in the Lord's Supper given and shed. But in this sort of context, it's recognizing that Yahweh is the God who has acted in behalf of His people and who will act again. And for us who live in the new era of when Christ has come, we recognize that it is that act of God which establishes and forms a foundation on which our activity of trusting can be carried out, and we prosper in the things that pertain to God despite the circumstances that go on around us. Any questions or comments, observations?